Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
Let's talk about liquor license, because that's something that a lot of people have. I've seen restaurants getting taken out because of liquor license. Like, they might lose their liquor license and then they're not making enough money. Mm-hmm. How much revenue, like at percentage wise, comes from a liquor license, and how hard is it? What's the challenges in actually getting a liquor license and maintaining a liquor license?
So I have quite a few of those, but it's in the city that I operate in, is not that challenging. You just have to qualify, and you have to qualify in two ways. Your location has to qualify, and you have to qualify. So obviously, you know, you couldn't have a license before and do like reckless things with it. You got to be responsible. And then obviously you have to have the capital to build your restaurant, because they want to know that you can actually build a restaurant that you're applying for the liquor license for. And the challenges sometimes is that, you know, when you're applying for the license, you're actually building the restaurant at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you're actually spending money while you apply for the license. The cost of the license is not a lot of money. It's only $4,500 per bar, right, in New York City. So that's not hard, but finding a location that can be licensed is can be a challenge, because the liquor authority don't want too many licenses unless it's zoned differently. Mm. They don't want too many licenses or too much alcohol being sold on the same block.
In one area.
Right. Because
unless it's like Times Square, then it doesn't matter.
Unless it's like a zone like a Times Square or
like Bourbon Street.
Yeah, or things like that, then it's different. Or like Hell's Kitchen has a different zone. But other places, and I'm assuming it's the quality of life, they don't want too many liquor licenses on one block. I believe it's like 4 might be the max or something like that. I'm not sure, but your location has to qualify. So it can't be too close. I think it's the 500-foot rule. You got to be 500 feet away from a school, mm-hmm. A church, and other entities that are in the
like a daycare center,
yeah, things like that. You can't be like, you can't walk out and then there's the nightclub, or you can't walk out then there's, you know, things like that. You're selling the liquor store, so you know they tried to so in that essence, the actual location needs to qualify as well as you qualify when you get the liquor license.
When you create a Chop House, obviously, you got to have food courts, but there's also a part of it that you have to market to make sure that people know that it's there.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, was there a marketing budget, or was it the power of the relationships that you had, you know, cultivated throughout your career that helped inside of that marketing?
So it was a combination of both. It's the power of social media, right? So just one person or a few people that influencers, tastemakers, people that just love the brand and, you know, and love what we do. Could we fuse, you know, our, you know, culture, whether, you know, entertainment, music, food, fashion, we kind of fused it together to create Brooklyn Chop House. So when people get that experience, you know, they share it. And once they share that experience, people may say, even today, we're getting a lot of people in Times Square, like, we just came here to see a play and to go to Brooklyn Chop House. So we're getting, after you know, being open, the brand being open 5 years, now we're getting people from out of state that's coming in town that they heard about it, or they heard someone celebrated there that was, you know, a significant, you know, person or celebrity or artist or athlete, you know, celebrated at the restaurant, and they see the social media, because it's not really like the news, it's just social, and people posting how much they enjoy their experience, how much they enjoy the food, they're taking pictures of the food, and you know, that's really has what has spread the word around. And the relationships obviously, you know, help. You know, I come from a promotion background, so I used to throw parties as well, like one or two big parties a year. So, you know, I had a small, you know, network of people that came to support, but it's not just that. It's just the brand is standing on its own, and, you know, the experience of when, you know, they come there are the two most important things. Obviously, the food, people like the food, but, you know, you want to have a good experience in a nice place.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, they see me there probably at least once a week, so.
Oh, yeah,
I'm doing my promotional purposes. So let me ask you this. So you said the two biggest costs that you could control are food and labor.
Yes.
We talked about food. Let's talk about labor.
Okay, so labor, you have to be able to control, to schedule correctly, know your market, right? So I don't open for lunch, right? Lunch at one point prior to COVID was a big daytime part, a big segment of the business. But right now, it's not as big in certain markets as it used to be, because the traffic isn't the same. The traffic changed.
So people aren't working?
Mm-hmm. People aren't working
remote.
As much.
They're remote.
From the office, maybe it's 3 and 2, right? Or maybe it's all at the office. So, all at home. So what happens is you have to know your, you know, traffic patterns. You have to know how to schedule. And that's a huge cost because obviously, you know, there's a lot that goes into labor. And, you know, New York City, you know, requires that, you know, you do it the right way. So, you know, we pride ourselves on having quite a few employees that help us execute. And when you're busy, you need more employees. So, but when you're not busy, there's, you know, some slow times. You have to know how to, you know, control your schedule.
What are some other costs that are associated with the business? Obviously, you said food and labor, but there's other costs that people probably aren't aware of if they're trying to get into the space that they probably should be aware of and prepare for if they're going to.
Yeah, so I think knowing your location, you know, you heard the term location, location, location. Mm-hmm. Knowing the right location for the concept that you're doing, right? So, for instance, you might not want to open up Subways in your neighborhood when everyone's at work during lunch, right? Because mm-hmm. Subways is primarily, a sandwich is primarily a lunchtime item. So you might want to position your franchise or your brand if you focus on lunch, you might want to put that near an office complex where people are at work, where people need to grab lunch, right? So it's all location, right? So I think that and, you know, obviously negotiating the deal and, you know, try not to have high rents, which is tough in certain markets. That's a non-controllable cost because that's a fixed cost. Right. So you have fixed costs that you have to obviously be aware of, you know, from garbage to electric to, you know, rent and, you know, cleaning services and things that you must have as far as running a restaurant. So you have the fixed costs and then you have things that are in your control that you must control, else it hurts your bottom line.
So you got the variable cost and fixed cost.
Yeah.
The variable insurance you put in there too?
Insurance would be a fixed cost because you can't control
right
the insurance rate.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.